Good morning, Rock Bible. How's everybody doing today? Good morning. My name is Kyle Wilson. I'm so honored to be here. I came with my wife. My wife Annie's right over here. I have two kids. Me and Annie will be celebrating 10 years of marriage this year. We have two kids. Izzy, she is 3 years old, and Tucker just celebrated his second birthday. So we're blessed to have those two little ones. He gives me like anxiety all the time. Like even here, I'm like, okay, is he in the balcony about to jump? Because that could be a thing. So I got to meet Scott back in 2012. I was part of Three Crosses Church, is where Jesus grabbed a hold of my life. I got to work with Mark Campbell, which I heard he's going to be here next week. I'm glad I'm going before him because he's an amazing speaker. But we got to go to Israel with Scott and, me and Scott and another gentleman, you might know him, Kurt McKenzie, we were the three that got lost in Nazareth when the rest of the group went on to one of the churches. We were like, wait, where are we going? We have no clue. We had a kid bark at us. All kinds of stories that came up. But Scott and I have known each other since then. During 2020, I was looking to see, hey, what's my next thing coming up in life? Where am I going? What's my new position? Where is God taking me? And so I got to sit with him and work with him, and he gave me my first opportunity to be here and speak on a Sunday morning for you guys. So it's been awesome to see you guys grow. I've been following you guys online. I follow Scott, talk with Scott often. So I'm just honored again to be here with you guys today. Today we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn that there. We'll get that in a little bit, but who has ever seen one of these? Does anybody know? Has it been a while since we've seen one of these things? This thing is awesome. There's just something about, let's see if, just something about that sound right there, you know? Just as you're going through. You know, trying to find that station can take a little while. That was a good song. Takes a while to like dial one of these things in, but it's awesome when you finally do. You gotta wade through all of that noise to find that station you're looking for, to find that song. You never know what songs are gonna come up when you got this. It's not a CD player. You can just hit forward. But it's awesome when you just get to pull one of these out, dial it in. You never know what you're gonna find. But again, there's a lot of static that you have to find yourself through, but it's always just interesting to pull out one of these every once in a while just to hear, hey, what's out there for me today? We'll get back to that in a little bit. So, go ahead and open your Bible. Acts chapter 4 is where we're going to be today. I'm going to set this right over here so I don't drop it. Well, that's probably not a good place to stand either. Okay. But today we're going to be in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at Peter and John today. But just we'll do a little recap of where we're going to be at. Leading up to this, we have Peter and John was going, and they healed this lame man. This man who couldn't walk, they went and healed him. And they went up to him and said, the first guy saw them and said, hey, I need help. Do you have some money? And Peter and John were like, I don't have money, but can see you don't walk. So how about this? Just get up and walk. Just told the guy, go ahead and walk. You're fine now. And the guy could. He stood up, walked. And my guess is he probably like jumped for joy, not just walked. Like he's been years of not walking. All of a sudden now he's able to walk and jump and dance. I know if I couldn't walk for that many years, I'd be running all over the place. So after that happens, we get into our part of the scriptures here of what happens after this. Let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump into our scriptures. Abba, Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. I pray that you speak through me today. Allow me to speak clearly, to share your truth, and open up our hearts and minds to what you have for us. We love you and praise you, and it's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right, so we got a good chunk here, but I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture first, and then we'll dive into it. So it's going to be in Acts chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day. For it was already evening, but many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, the rulers and elders and scribes gathered in Jerusalem with Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were the high priestly family. And when they had sent them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning the good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in his name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom this sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. So let's first address the elephant in the room. This man was 40 years old, the lame guy. I read that and I'm like, why would you say this? And it's like, we're trying to say this guy has not walked in years and he's 40 years old. He's old. And now he's walking. I'm like, 40? I'm 41. This guy is not old. Okay. Enough of my rant. I'll go on. But man, that hit me when I read that one. Let's go back to the beginning. Here we go. So when they get there, they've already healed this blind man, and all of a sudden the religious leaders come and say, "Hey, we have to do something. What just happened? These guys proclaiming the name of Jesus cannot happen." So they went and arrested him. But since it was at night, they kept him locked up overnight until the next morning until they can confer. So they're so after it to say, "Hey, we need to lock them up now, but we'll just deal with it in the morning." It's a whole night that they're not going to be speaking about Jesus. Win number one. But it didn't stop, because people have already heard the name of Jesus. And in that time, it says in verse 4, "But those who have heard the word believed, and the number of men came to about 5,000. Which is amazing. 5,000 people seeing this lame man being able to walk again, hearing the name of Jesus, and they believed in who Jesus is. The Sadducees could arrest Peter and John, but they could not arrest the gospel. The gospel was not going to be held back. So the next day, the elders and the scribes and all the religious leaders come together, and they go to him and say, "Hey, by what power or what name did you do this?" Asking Peter and John, "But how did you do this? Who are you claiming that healed these men?" Peter, then filled with the Holy Spirit, straight from God, he says, "Rulers and the people and elders, if we are to be examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and all the people of Israel by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. By this man is standing before you well. Here they're like, I'll tell you exactly who said this, who exactly healed this man. It was by the name of Jesus Christ, whom, remember, you guys crucified. You guys didn't like, you guys wanted gone, so you had him killed. But it didn't matter because he's not dead. He's alive, he's well, and he, through his name, he is healing people. And he's right here. If you don't believe me, look at the gentleman. He's standing right here next to me, healed. You guys know who he is, and now he's walking. This interaction fulfills a promise from Jesus. In Luke 12, 11 and 12, Jesus says these words, "And when they bring you before the synagogues and rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." Jesus was telling his disciples, hey, they're going to come after you. If you're going to live a life for me, they're going to come after you and start questioning you. But don't worry. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's what exactly it says. Verse 8 from Acts, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them." And the Holy Spirit gave them the words to say, hey, here's what happened. Laid it out real clearly. We did this in Jesus' name. Again, remember, the one that you crucified. And he is the one why this man can walk today. That this Jesus that they are speaking about, in verse 11, it says, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. Those who you think yourselves are building this church, building God's people up, you are the one that rejected this man. But this man that you rejected, had crucified, is now the cornerstone of what everything's built on." Now, the cornerstone is that super important stone when it's built. It's everything is based off of that one. That is the first stone laid in the ground where the rest of the walls are going to be built off of. Everything's going to be plumbed off that one. That is the main stone that sets the precedence for the entire building. And they're saying Jesus Christ is this cornerstone, which now, even though you think you're builders, everything is built upon Jesus Christ himself. And it even says it in the Old Testament. In Psalms 118, verse 22, it said this. It says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." So to all of the religious leaders, this is not a surprise. They might be surprised on now who they are referencing in, as this cornerstone, but Peter's using the words saying, hey, this is the man. And Jesus referenced it saying, I am that cornerstone. I am the one that the Old Testament is talking about. So pay attention. Verse 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. Peter and John said, hey, there's no one else that's going to be able to save you. Salvation comes from no one else except for Jesus Christ. The only one under heaven that's going to be able to save you. That by putting your faith and trust in who he is going to lead you into a new life. And what's amazing, all these men that sat there and were questioning Peter and John stood there in astonishment at the boldness that these two men had. Why? They looked at them as uneducated and common men. The term that the original scripture uses for uneducated wasn't saying they were illiterate, but that they have not had proper rabbinic training. They haven't been properly trained to be a rabbi, to interpret the scriptures, read the scriptures, teach other people. So they don't have the actual teaching needed, as they thought, to share about who God is. And common men were just meaning they were laymen. They were non-professionals. This wasn't the job that they had like all the other religious leaders. They had other jobs, fishermen, builders, all the different types of crafts that were there. That's what they did. These were common men. They were fishermen. And now they're sharing about Jesus and sharing about God and what God's doing and healing people amongst the way. And they stood there in awe at these two men because they were uneducated and common men. And then it continues and says, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus, who, get this, also lacked both formal theological training. Jesus didn't go through the proper rabbinic training that needed to be to share God. Jesus Christ himself, our Lord, our Savior, God himself in the flesh, didn't go through the correct channels, the correct teachers to be able to share who God is. These common men learn from a seemingly common man. We know he wasn't common. He was God himself. But when it comes to education-wise, he was a builder. He was a carpenter. And these guys lived with him for 3 years. Learned from him. Lived life with him. Ate meals together with him. And it was recognized by the way they talked and acted. Their boldness in sharing who Jesus Christ was shown because they could tell that they were with this guy for so long. When you're with somebody for that long, you start to know each other. Things start to rub off. You start almost acting like each other. And they saw this, that they have been with the man they're speaking about themselves. It wasn't just they knew about him. They knew that they actually spent time with him. Now, I want to tell you about this gentleman. His name is Edward Kimball. Has anybody heard of the name Edward Kimball? I think we have a picture of him up. There we go. There's a picture of him. Share a little story here. It says, Edward Kimball was a Sunday school teacher who not only prayed for the hyper boys in his class, but also sought to win each one of them to the Lord personally. He decided he would be intentional with every single last one of them. Surely he thought about throwing in the towel, because if you're working with high school, junior high boys, you know you want to throw that towel in every once in a while. But if you have ever taught the Bible to young boys, you know that the experience can often be like herding cats, but worth it in the end. When I was at Three Crosses, I got to experience being a high school leader to a group of boys from when they were freshmen to seniors, and I couldn't tell you how many times when they were freshmen, I said, "Why am I doing this?" I remember walking to summer camp one time, and one of the boys comes to me with tears in his eyes, like, really, really upset. I'm like, what happened? He goes, come here, I'll show you. And I go in there, and I'm thinking something's horrible happened. The other boys mess with him, and all of a sudden I look on the wall, and there's a mattress duct taped to the wall, and the rest of the boys are in the other room laughing. I'm sitting here like, that's good, guys. That was really good, right? But not trying to let the one boy know, because it upset him. I'm like, this was so small, but it turned into something big. It was a joke that was funny. Like, they didn't mess with his stuff, but it caused him to feel something. And then I got to watch these boys go to camp with each other for 4 years, and the change I got to see of them from freshman to senior was amazing. Not by anything I did, but because I got to watch God walk with them through that time. And so this gentleman, Edward Kimball, wanted to see that. He wanted to teach these young men to know who Jesus was and allow Jesus to affect their life, to change their lives. Now, one man in particular didn't seem to understand what the gospel was, so Kimball went to the shoe store where this young gentleman was stocking shelves, confronted him in the stock room, which seems weird, but sat there and told him what the importance of taught him about the importance of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. This young man was Dwight L. Moody. In the stockroom on that Saturday, he believed the gospel and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. And we have a picture of, here's D.L. Moody. Anybody heard of that name, D.L. Moody? Right, a lot of us have. Moody has touched two continents for God, with thousands professing Christ through his ministry. That's where we have Moody Institute. formal training for people who want to go into ministry, teaching about Jesus Christ and helping men and women follow their call into ministry, and the amazing impact that Moody has had and continues to have on this earth. But it doesn't go there. The story doesn't end there, because Moody got to disciple a gentleman named Wilbur Chapman. Wilbur Chapman went on to be a preacher, went and taught, and he ended up teaching a gentleman named Billy Sunday, who Billy Sunday went on and became an amazing preacher, brought more people to the Lord, taught this gentleman named Mordecai Ham, who also shared who Jesus Christ was with plenty of people, who ended up teaching this gentleman. Who knows who that guy is? Billy Graham. One of the most influential men in the world, who went around to city, teaching people and sharing the good news, the gospel of who Jesus Christ is. How Jesus Christ died on the cross for us because of our sin. And Jesus is the one that restores our relationship with God. And I couldn't tell you how many stories I've heard of people going to his revivals and reading about him and just the impact that he had on this world. And it started back with a gentleman named Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher. One, if this isn't the perfect example of why all of you guys should be serving in youth ministry, I don't know what is. But Edward Kimball had such an amazing relationship and deep relationship with Jesus, he couldn't help himself but to teach young men about who Jesus was and what a relationship with him would look like. And we get to see it generation after generation, man after man who got to heard about Jesus, all the way down to somebody who affected the world like no other. Now, Edward Kimball had no clue this was going to happen. Didn't even get to witness it. But his faithfulness led to Billy Graham sharing who Jesus Christ was. Now, the gentleman that I look at as my spiritual papa is Mark Campbell, and I heard that you guys get to hear from him next week. An amazing man. I've been so lucky to learn with him and be taught by him and live life with him. And he had, his spiritual papa was Ron Ritchie. You guys might have heard him. And Ron could trace his lineage back to the next guy that taught him and keep going back. And if we were to follow that lineage all the way back, it would take us all the way back to the disciples, which would take us back to Jesus Christ himself. This idea of following Jesus isn't just something that we pick up randomly out of a book. It's through a process of discipleship, of learning, living with each other, and hearing about who Jesus Christ is. And that's what Peter and John were doing. Now back to Acts. It says in verse 14, it says, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition, talking about the religious leaders. But when they commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. These guys were like, we don't want them speaking about who Jesus Christ is. What are we going to do? Like, we can't deny what they just did. Like, you guys all know this guy could never walk, and now he's walking. Like, we can't deny it. We can't hide it. So what do we do now? It says, but in order that it spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone about his name, about Jesus. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Even though they wanted nothing to do with this, everyone, 5,000 men, saw the miracle and believed. And that's just the 5,000 men that believed. It doesn't talk about all the thousands of people who actually still saw this man walk and now are like, how did that happen? But these religious leaders wanted silence. Their God, that they're trying to teach people about, healed this man, and they want him silenced about it. They don't want to share what God's actually doing just because of this man that they didn't like, Jesus Christ. But I love Peter's answer to this. Peter said, whether it is right in the sight of God or to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. He's like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to listen to you Or do you want to listen to the God that you're trying to teach everyone to listen to? You tell me. Am I to listen to you or am I to listen to God? I thought you guys were all about God, so aren't we supposed to share his word? But doesn't let them judge. He says here, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. He says, we're not going to talk about anything else but what we've seen and what we've heard, what we've experienced. Why would we talk about anything else? If we've seen God at work and we know who it was through, why would we keep this locked up in our own with ourselves? We have to share this. We have to share the good news of who Jesus Christ is and the miracles that Jesus is continuing to do today. And when they were, in verse 21, and when they had further threatened them, after religious leaders further threatened Peter and John, they let him go, finding no way to punish him because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. They didn't like how it happened, but these two men actually accomplished what they were trying to do, get people to praise God. Their whole job was to get people to follow God and praise him. And these men got it to happen. But they were against it because of Jesus Christ. It's so hard to even imagine, to try wrapping my head around that. When I went to Israel, I got to go walk around Jerusalem. And out of all the places we went to, Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea, Jerusalem was actually the saddest place for me. Because as I'm sitting there, I get to go to the wall where all the Jewish people are praying to God, talking to God, putting prayers in the wall. I'm sitting there like, they missed it. They missed Jesus. Jesus walked right here where they were at. And because they didn't like who Jesus was, because God didn't come in a way that they wanted, a ruler that was overthrow the Roman government, a ruler that would come and bring power to the Jewish people, they are like, nah, you're not our guy. They missed it, even though he was right there with them. And the religious leaders are another example of that. These guys, in Jesus' name, is sharing who God is and what God can do, healing people. And because it's not aimed at the gentleman or the guy that they exactly wanted, they're talking about Jesus, they want to shut it down. Does that sound familiar to you guys? How many people don't want to hear about Jesus, even though there's still miracles that are happening today here around the world? It's because they don't want to hear the name of Jesus. And it's hard because we don't want to upset people. We don't want to make enemies. I don't think Peter and John wanted to make enemies either, but they were like, I need to proclaim who this Jesus Christ is. I need to share who Jesus is and what he's doing in my life. Man, imagine if all who believed in Jesus had that boldness. Myself included. I get to work with youth. I'm a youth pastor, a kids pastor, and so I get to hang out with kids, and part of that is looking for merch, looking for t-shirts. And so I got this t-shirt sent to me, and it's right, big, bold, right on the shirt. It says, Jesus is King. I'm like, this shirt's awesome. One, it was super soft, super comfy, and it has it right there. This would be great. All of a sudden, one day, I put it on, rocking it at my house, and I had to go to the store. And as I'm stepping out of the car, I'm like, oh, hold on. I have Jesus, like, his name plastered on my shirt. Like, then I had a second, like, what, Kyle, what are you doing? Like, this is what you do. You share Jesus with people, not just because I'm a pastor, but because I follow Jesus. Why am I now all of a sudden I'm ashamed to walk into a store with his name on my chest? Like, I should be just boldly holding my shirt open, like, everybody, look at this. Not because of who I am, but because of who Jesus is. But there's so many people out there that want to shut that down because they don't like who Jesus is. But as followers, we should have the boldness that Peter and John does to share that. Now, how do we hear what God's calling us to, right? Because it says here, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, when you're questioned, God will give you the answer that you need to share. how are we to know what to share if with people? We need to have a relationship with God. We have to listen to God. We have to pray to God. We have to read his scriptures. It's sort of like this radio. There's plenty of things in life that is that static, that can drown out who Jesus is. Right? It's there, but it's not. It's there, it's not. Like, what do I do? We have to tune our life into Jesus and find that clear channel that we can hear from him. And it's this easy. It's your Bible. You want a clear channel to hear what Jesus is trying to teach you? Pick up your Bible and read it. Take time out of your day and say, for the next 5 minutes, I'm just going to pray with you, God. Maybe that's you sharing what's hard in your life. God wants to hear it. Maybe it's you just sitting in silence. God, I just want to be in your presence. I just want to sit here with you. I have nothing to say right now. I just want to be with you. Because it's those moments when we deepen our relationship with God that we get the clear communication and we can sort of drown out society to know what God's calling us to do. To share with our family, to share with our neighbors. Maybe it's not even to say Jesus' name, but we're to walk down to our neighbor's house that's having a really hard time and just be there with them. So when that opportunity shows up, when they're like, well, why did you come down to our house? We can say, because Jesus loves you and I felt that I needed to be here with you. And then it opens the door wide open to share Jesus Christ like Peter and John. Now imagine what that would do. Not just in your life and those that you have an influence on. Imagine if all the people who believed in who Jesus Christ was believed that Jesus Christ paid our penalty for our sin, experienced a horrible death, was nailed to a cross, died on that cross, was buried, but said, guess what? I'm not gone. And 3 days later, rose to new life. And those who believe in that go out there and share that with everybody with boldness. I know it would change this community. It would change Danville. It would change Pleasanton. It would change the whole valley. And if it changed here, I know it would spread from there. Through COVID, me and my wife often thought, like, where do we go next? Maybe we need to move. And again, not because of who we are, but we had this feeling, it's like, well, California needs Jesus believers too. Needs Jesus people to share. So how are we doing that in our community? And if all of us who go to church, who say, I believe in who Jesus Christ is, if we did that, we would change the world. I know it seems like such a big deal, there's no way we can affect the world. Yes, we can. But it starts right here at Rock Bible, into your community, being bold and sharing who Jesus Christ is without any reservation. Let us be people like Peter and John who speak the good news, the gospel of who Jesus Christ is, boldly. And when people try to shut us down, we're like, well, who am I supposed to listen to? You or God? I love you, but God is my everything. Jesus is my everything. I have to listen to him. And let me show you what that looks like. Not in a condemning way, but in a loving way. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus loved us, so we are to share his love. And if for those who are like, Kyle, it's awesome for you. You're a pastor. You've learned how to do this. Let's remember who Peter and John were. They were ordinary, common, uneducated men that didn't go through theological training. I think we can all resonate with that. I know for the longest time I always said, I'm not going to be a pastor. Even with that, God still calls me to share who Jesus Christ is. And he calls all of us who believe in who he is to share it. And then again, we end verse 22. For the man whom this sign was healing was performed was more than 40 years old. Oh, yep, you're right. Because God can change the lives even of those people we believe could never be changed. Let it be their status, let it be their age, let it be whoever they are. God can change the lives of everyone. And we are to just boldly follow Jesus and do what Jesus is calling us to spread his love and to share his good news. Let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. And thank you for this word. Thank you for being the one that offers us the opportunity to speak boldly about you. Because it's because of you and the Holy Spirit that we have the opportunity to share all about who you are. So today, give us that strength. Give us that boldness to share your son's name with everyone we come in contact with. Maybe through our words, but definitely through our actions. And we might not ever see it, but I pray that when we get to be in your presence, that we can look at our lives and who we've affected, and we can be like Edward Kimball, where the world's changed just from us being faithful to one person, to share that good news of who your son is with that one person that might go on and change the world. We love you and praise you, and it's in your son's name we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think we're going to go into a time of another worship song, and we're going to collect an offering. So as they're playing, we'll collect our offering. Let me pray for the offering, too, that God's will be done with that. Lord, thank you for all the men and women in this room. I thank you for the offering that is about to come, that these resources go to your church, go to your people, to best serve you, to do what we've just talked about, to share your love and the good news about who you are. We love you and praise you, and it's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us here at Rock Bible. Go and share the good news. Share it with boldness. So that way we all point to who Jesus Christ is for everything we do. And we show everybody how much we love him. Have a great weekend and go share that good news of Jesus with boldness. See you later.